Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen?
We're going to whoop their
Have you gotten Rommel yet?
Good morning, afternoon, evening, brunch time, lunch time. Man, the past couple days have been good weather time. Can Tennessee win a basketball game and lose a basketball game at the same time? That's something we're going to have to talk about, time. Whatever time of day it is, boys and girls, it's the right time for the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Wes Rucker coming to you here on Thursday, late afternoon, early evening, as per usual. Seems to be the witching hour at which we can have the window to record some of these podcasts. Coming to you from what's just an absolutely beautiful day here in East Tennessee. Past couple days just been absolutely beautiful. I think it's going to rain all weekend, but just, man, unseasonably warm, beautiful, great weather. Not just me on this podcast, joined by a guy who, unlike me, took advantage of today by going out and getting some exercise in, getting a run in on this beautiful day. Let's go down to the Blount County Satellite Office of GoVols 24/7 down in Maryville and bring in Grant Ramey. Grant, what's going on?
It's the only way to live. You got to get some exercise in. You'll go crazy if you sit around and watch Tennessee basketball for long enough.
That's true. I went to the dentist today. Does that count as exercise? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, it was.
That's an exercise in torture.
Yeah, the normal hygienist, she is on maternity leave, so it was the new hygienist, and you know she was doing the cleaning thing, got a little sensitive, and she was saying, "Did you change your toothbrush recently?" I was like, "I don't know, but apparently I've changed my hygienist. Maybe that's part of it." Just messing with her. She's a sweet girl. It's all right. And I had no cavities, so I feel like I should get money from the tooth fairy.
Yeah.
Is that how that goes?
Get a treat. You get a treat. Good job.
Is that how that goes? Is that how the tooth fairy works? It's been a while. We don't have kids yet, and I'm getting old, so I don't remember. Is that how it works? No cavities?
Yes, that's how it works. No cavities. Lose a tooth. It's all the same. Get some money. Get some cash.
Let's see if I can segue this. There were some cavities for Tennessee basketball on Wednesday night I was going to say Thompson Bowling Arena, down at Memorial Gymnasium in Nashville, the 25th-ranked Vols, who had been 5-5 in their past 10 games, got what should have been a break. They played a Vanderbilt team that did not have its two best players. Scottie Pippen Jr. and Dylan Disu were both out of the game. Could not play. Also, Cleavon Brown was not able to play, and he shall be Cleavon, and he shall be a good man. But he was not able to play on Wednesday night either. And Tennessee really should have won that game really, really comfortably. Ended up not being the case. A 17-point lead early in the second half became a 4-point game down the stretch. Tennessee was able to kind of go on and finish the game 170-58, but Grant, I've said this for years. I'm not going to change that stance now. You do not apologize for wins, especially in conference play, especially against an in-state rival. I don't care. You know, you win the game, that's a good thing. You shouldn't apologize for it. But that was as far as wins go, that was like the closest a win could feel to a loss. Am I overstating that?
No, you're not. And there are positives. If there's been a positive the last couple of weeks, it's been Victor Bailey Jr. If there's been a positive the last basically six games minus one performance, it's been Jaden Springer. If there's been another positive, it's when you needed answers late against Vanderbilt. It was Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson who came up with some answers and helped you get some breathing room. But there's also a lot of negatives. You cannot keep turning the ball over 16, 17, 18 times in these games. You can't have Keon Johnson being your biggest turnover problem. He's got 23 over his last five games now. That can happen. And yes, when it's a Vanderbilt team missing their leading scorer, their second leading scorer, who is also their leading rebounder, and another forward in Cleveland Brown, who, you know, has started some games and averages, you know, decent numbers. That's a team, when you're up 17 in the second half, you put them away and you coast to the finish line. You don't let a team go from 17 down to back within five with 3:49 left, whatever it was, right there at that final media timeout. You just don't let that happen. But Tennessee keeps letting that happen. Tennessee keeps letting Tennessee's bomb away, opponents bomb away from the three-point line on them. I mean, Vandy made 13. They also shot 31, but they made 13. They made eight of them in the second half. South Carolina made 10 last week. LSU and Kentucky made seven each. I mean, the common thread there is Tennessee's perimeter defense, apparently, because all these teams are shooting pretty well from the three-point line against them. So there's positives, there's negatives. You don't apologize for a win, like you said, but you could ask for more in a win, which Tennessee should be asking a lot more in a win.
Yeah, I agree. Now I will say that for much of this season, it's, you know, people have probably, in my opinion at least, made too much of Tennessee's three-point defense and talked about it being a concern when statistically it's been okay. You know, it's been top 25, I believe, for most of the season in three-point percentage allowed. So, and when you give up 58 points in a game, it's hard to say defensively you didn't do the job, right? I mean, it's hard to say that. No matter who you play, you hold them to less than 60. You know, it's hard to complain too much about that. And I will say, in fairness also, that Vanderbilt made some really, really tough threes in that game. It was pretty clear to them. You know, Pippen's kind of the drive-draw-dish guy. He's one of the most ball-dominant players in the league. And Disu's a guy who really can score in a lot of different ways, can take the ball into the paint and score, can step outside and score. But without those two guys, they just almost were not messing around in the lane. I mean, I think in the first 35 or so minutes of that game, they had like 6 2-point buckets that they made. They may have only made 8 in the entire game in terms of 2-point buckets. And some of those threes they were taking were not normal threes. These were like Steph Curry range threes. They took some that were just, you know, near the tip of the star, basically there at the midcourt logo, and some of those went in, and that was clearly what Vanderbilt had to do. That was the only way Vanderbilt was going to score in that game, was to light it up from three. So Tennessee should have run Vandy off the line better. It didn't in some cases, but I don't know. For me, I see a trend there, obviously, and that's a concern. But I think when you hold somebody to less than 60, I have a hard time complaining too much about that. What's really, really bothering me is the offense, specifically the turnovers. It's something that, and you know, just, and this is kind of how the way last night went. You know, Rick Barnes, the Wi-Fi down there in Vanderbilt's 300-year-old gym, down there in the concrete bowels of it, was sort of struggling. So Barnes got cut off twice and was really not happy about it. But I kept trying to ask him about the turnovers, and eventually we got the answer. Is so many of these turnovers have absolutely nothing to do with what the opponent's doing. They have nothing to do with just sort of a, you know, schematic problem. They have nothing to do with anything other than guys doing really, really dumb things, like taking too many steps after they catch the basketball, like spinning into double teams, like throwing passes 2 feet high to someone 10 feet away from you, like, you know, picking up your dribble in traffic, like, you know, spinning your way into double teams, which they do way too often, leaving your feet to pass, which they do way too often. Some of these are things that like a middle school coach would bench you for. And the fact that we're sitting here now, I mean, it's been a weird year. I get it. COVID, all these things. There's no excuse for this late in the season for a team that plays this many guards who can handle the ball to have this many turnovers. And I'll be honest, Grant, this season will go absolutely nowhere if they keep doing this.
No, and I don't want to be, you know, overly pick on the kid, but right now it's Keon Johnson. He's the biggest. I mean, take away his 6 turnovers last night and you have 10 as a team. I can live with 10 as a team on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
It is what it is. I think when Tennessee started 10-1 in the season, through those first 11 games, they averaged 9.9 turnovers per game. In the 11 games since then, they're 6-5. They're averaging 14.3 turnovers in those games. That's, you know, that's a huge increase, and that's a huge problem. And I don't think you learn in late February how to value the ball. I don't know if you can. You got to ask Keon Johnson to limit his turnovers. But outside of that, I don't know how much you really can improve this late in the season and expect a you know, the light bulb to go off. I mean, and Keon's got to take better care of the ball. It's the careless stuff. I mean, he was under the rim, wide open for a dunk at Vanderbilt last night, and he gets called for a travel somehow. I'm not really sure how that happens.
Yeah, I was going to bring that one up in particular. That one was just baffling.
I don't know if he's just thinking too much, trying to do too much, is what Rick Barnes said after the game. I don't know. He's got to slow down. He's got to go back to the school of just defense and rebound and give what you can get on offense and don't try to press anything. Keep the ball moving on the offensive end. Don't try to handle it too much, because right now, every time he tries to handle it, it feels like a turnover. But, I mean, if he can just limit – he can't have 23 turnovers in a five-game stretch. He can't have five a night or whatever the number is. He's got to cut it down to one or two, and I think Tennessee would be fine. But right now, they got a turnover problem, and he's the biggest problem.
I got to wonder if everything he's playing for right now is playing a part in it. You know, that's just a natural thing. Maybe it's not fair to put that out there when we're not sure about it, but I just, you know, he's playing for potentially the difference in millions and millions of dollars.
Here's the thing with that, though. What teams are drafting him on, or why he's so high up on these mock drafts, has nothing to do with what he's doing right now. It has everything to do with how his basketball career has, you know, the trajectory it's on, the athlete he is, the defender he can be. They're not drafting him for his jump shot right now, clearly because it's not good enough. His three-point shot, clearly because it's not good enough. His ball security, clearly because it's not good enough. They're drafting because he's an explosive, elite, quick twitch athlete. Say that five times fast.
Yeah, that's tough.
Defender, two-way guard. I mean, he's a great athlete, and he can develop his jump shot in the league. He can develop his three-point shot in the league. He can learn to take care of the basketball much better as his NBA career develops. So, if anything, he should relax and just know that, you know, a lot of the work is in terms of where he's going to get drafted has already been done, because he hasn't, you know, outside of a few games, he hasn't been incredibly impressive as a freshman, but he's still so far up, you know, like number seven on some of these mock draft boards.
Yeah, and I think the reason I was bringing that up is because I think I know that. I think you know that. I think Rick Barnes knows that. I don't know if Keon Johnson understands that right now. That's why I'm wondering if some of this is becoming an issue. But the reason that I talk about the turnovers is because, obviously, you know, they're dumb. In general, you can't have them. But we don't need to have, like, a long discussion about this. But the way Tennessee plays offense – is just not one that I sort of understand metrically, if metrically is a word, because Tennessee, you know, Barnes is so old school in the way that he wants to play the game offensively. The dude's won a billion games doing this his way. I get it. He wants his teams to score from all three levels. He wants them to be threats to score from all three levels. And when you look at the shot charts, they really are about 33%. And, you know, 33% inside, 33% mid-range, 33% three. They sort of do schematically what he wants them to do in some ways. I think the whole rim or three is the way to go, and I think teams like Alabama are showing that, teams like Gonzaga, Baylor, a lot of these teams are showing that there's a way that you can game the system, and the way that you play, Bruce Pearl's done this forever, there's a way that you can map this thing out, and the way you get your shots and how much of an impact that makes on games. If Tennessee's going to keep doing it the way Tennessee's doing it now, which is fine. Again, this is Rick Barnes' team. He's won a billion games. He's paid really well. It, you know, hey, the guy knows more about basketball than both of us combined. I think we would both agree with that. I just think the way that they play means that you're going to have some inefficient nights. And when you're having inefficient nights, you really, really, really can't turn the ball over 17 times. Because there's other possessions where you're just not getting the most you could if you were playing a different system. So I'm not pretending to know more about basketball than anyone in that program. I just don't understand why sometimes some of the ways they want to play the game, like last night, I'm not really sure what the plan was, if there was one. But it doesn't matter as much if you don't turn the ball over 17 times.
Yeah, and I mean, at this point in the year, you're not obviously changing the way you play. You True. Better just execute better. I mean, that's the bottom line. The offense is what it is. When it does execute, it has looked decent at times. I mean, it's been a while. You got to go back to, you know, almost Missouri to open the SEC schedule. The last time they were really efficient, and it looked like things were moving on the offensive end and doing what they wanted to do. There's other nights like Kentucky on the road when they ran in transition so much, other nights where, you know, they hit a bunch of threes or whatever, but you're not changing a ton, or you can't change a ton offensively this late in the season. You're going to do what you do. You better just execute better. And you can't learn to value the ball completely. I mean, you can't completely change who you are as a player at this point, but you better learn how to take care of it better. I don't know if Keon Johnson's pressing because they've been looking for somebody to step up and they want somebody to take over. And maybe he's just trying to do too much by himself and needs to look for a little bit more help on the offensive end. I mean, Jaden Springer, aside from the Kentucky home game Saturday, has been pretty much lights out the last 3 weeks. And Victor Bailey scoring the way he has the last three times out. I mean, that's the guy. That's exactly the guy that Tennessee wanted, the guy that's going to hit a ton of three-point shots and be a consistent scorer and can get you buckets. I mean, they still need Eve Pons to be more consistent. He had 10-10 against Vanderbilt. That was a good sign, a good step forward. And they need John Fulkerson, who had 4 points in the first 3 minutes, and then I'm not sure we heard from him again aside from foul trouble. So it's not all on Keon Johnson, and it's not all of this offense. It's not going to get fixed immediately, but they better start executing better because you can't have 6 minutes without a point like you had in the first half at Vanderbilt against a very depleted Vanderbilt team. They had 4 turnovers in that stretch. You can't let a 17-point lead get down to 5. Because against better teams, you're going to get run out of the gym like we saw against Kentucky.
It's just a shame to me when you think about it to potentially waste. I mean, regardless of how you may not feel like Tennessee has just, a top 5 or top 10 roster, and you're fine to feel that way. Hey, there's you might be right. But I think when you look at it, it would just be a shame to not have a deep run this postseason when you have – and no one can argue against this. You have an elite defense, and that's not up for debate. You have an elite defense. You've got 2 freshman guards who look like they could be first-round NBA draft picks. You got a few other guys who are going to play pro, and you can't figure some things out offensively because you go into a game like standing on second base because of the way you play defense. It's like you start every game on base, right? It's like, being a baseball team, and every single inning you go to the plate, you start with runners on base. That's how good your defense is. And then to just screw it up this badly on offense at times, it's frustrating. You know, it's tough to watch at times because, you know, they'll go 5-6 minutes without scoring, and it's like, how can that happen? And if it were just missing shots, man, that happens, right? That happens. But when you don't even get shots off because you do dumb things and turn the ball over, it's just, it's tough to understand. It really is. And there's more to discuss about that. And we will, because I think there's one thing I want to discuss about, and I wrote about a column about this last night, and I think some people might disagree. I'm not even positive that it's something I believe, but it's something I've wondered about with this team. And it's something that I, in the past month or so, I haven't been able to get out of my head. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about that. But before we do that, we're going to step away, pay some bills, listen to products, ad services, other fun things, and we will be back in just a second on the Go Balls 24/7 podcast. Hashtag ad.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the Go Vols 24/7 podcast, brought to you by whatever products, services, and in-house ad you just heard a moment ago during that commercial break. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio here late on a Thursday afternoon, early on a Thursday evening. Grant Ramey coming to you from the Blount County satellite office of Go Vols 24/7 down there in Merville, talking a lot of Tennessee basketball, also probably going to talk a little Tennessee baseball in this segment. So we got a lot to discuss. There's not been a ton of football news. Tennessee did confirm what we've been reporting for a while, which is that Jean-Marie, the Perrier NASCAR driving linebackers coach at Michigan, is now going to be the linebackers coach or defensive assistant at Tennessee. So there's one spot left on Josh Heupel's full-time staff, but we got a long time and a long spring camp and a long offseason to discuss all of that. But that's the news there. So we're going to talk mostly in this episode, or epedition, as we've sometimes started calling it by accident, and by we, I mean me. We're going to talk a lot of mostly basketball, maybe a little bit of baseball. Before we do that, though, just a quick reminder, guys, take a minute out of your day right now if you can, and please subscribe to this podcast. Please, please take a second, hit that subscribe button. Please rate and review this podcast, whether you are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher. Anywhere in the world you can cast the fine pod, you can find the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. And we do this for free, and we're happy to do it. But the one thing we ask you to do is please go rate and review, and please hit that subscribe button. There is nothing you can do that will help us more than that. The way the metrics work, I can see this, day over day, week over week, month over month, year over year. The numbers just keep growing and growing, and it's been a really fun ride, and we're happy to do this. But that's the one thing we're going to ask. If you could keep doing that, guys, that would be a big help. And also, hey, tell your friends, right? Sometimes there's no substitute for just, hey, telling your friend, hey, you like the Vols? You got a phone? You got a laptop? You got a computer? It's 2021. You probably do. Go ahead and listen to the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Also, this is a great time. We're offering one of the best deals of the year. Honestly, one of the best deals we've ever had on the site at Go Vols 24/7. We're offering 50% off of an annual subscription right now to the site, which is a really, really good deal. And on top of that, we will go ahead and give you access to CBS All Access for free. And CBS All Access is about to become Paramount Plus here in just about a week or so, week and a half. And when that happens, you will have even more stuff. You get everything in the CBS catalog, every show ever made, commercial-free, new movies, including a ton of new movies that are going to come over. Like every time you see like a Paramount Pictures at the beginning of a movie, hey, you're probably going to be able to see that one for free. Also, live sports. You get SEC football, SEC basketball. You get March Madness, NCAA tournament, NFL, PGA Tour, UEFA Champions League, UEFA Europa League. I watched Arsenal's nail-biting win today over Benfica, which was a really, really fun game. Watch that right there for free because of CBS All Access, about to be Paramount Plus. Also, stuff in the catalogs of MTV, BET, Smithsonian, Nickelodeon, and Comedy Central. Tons and tons of stuff that's on there. That's more than a $100 annual value that we're giving you for nothing. So we're giving you 50% off of what's already a good deal for the site. And on top of that, you get a $100-plus annual gift that you will use all the time, and you will get that for free in perpetuity as long as you're a member with us. So no one else can offer you that deal. That's why I talk about it every episode. No one else in the game can offer you all that kind of deal. It is a fantastic deal in a world where it's hard to get a good deal. So take advantage of that. Grant, there's one thing I've been thinking about a lot with this Tennessee basketball team over the past month, and I've not been able to get the thought out of my head. And I need to preface this by saying that I think you would agree, and I'll ask you about this. It's harder than ever in this particular season to sort of understand what's going on behind the scenes of a program. Like, we have sources, we trust them, we speak with them, we think we get the lay of the land pretty well, or else we wouldn't be telling you some of the things we're telling you. But journalism's not really a faith-based business, right? Like, you have to see things, you need evidence, you need proof. And without being able to see as much in person, practices, interviews, behind the scenes workouts, things like that, it's hard to tell exactly as much as usual what the vibe is. Is that a fair statement?
For sure.
And that's not to say that we're not you know, able to give you insight. That's not at all what I'm saying. I think we offer you tons of insight, and we can give you, outside of Tennessee opening up itself, we give you the best chance of learning what's going on behind the scenes there. But it's hard to see, and that's why, you know, as someone who's sitting here, you know, from this end, writing, you know, opinions for a living, you know, sometimes you have to take guesses that you normally wouldn't be taking. Because you're not able to see as much. You're having to rely on what you hear and what you you know, what you see from a distance here in the COVID era. But I can't help but wonder if the pressures of this season, both individually for some Tennessee players and collectively as a team, I wonder if that's getting to this team a little bit. Because physically, we can see that, hey, you know, Fulkerson's been beat up. You know, Josiah Jordan-James has been hurt. Eve Pons has been hurt. Jaden Springer's had that ankle. You know, guys are banged up. That happens usually in most seasons. This one's no different. But I just can't shake the feeling that you know, having so much pressure, people talking about this as a potential Final Four team coming into the season, while they were having to rely on some freshmen but still having that kind of upside. I wonder if them being a target for people all season long and the pressure that comes with that, I wonder if they're handling that great. Because I look at the way Fulkerson's playing, timidly at times. And I think if it's not physical, it's got to be mental. And, you know, is that pressure? Eve Pons, some of the things he does when he gets tentative, is that pressure? Some of these turnovers, guys trying to do too much, is that because of pressure? And feel free to disagree, Grant, because I, you know, you very well might. I haven't asked you this yet before we hit record, which is sort of a rare thing, but just to be honest, I mean, has that thought entered your mind at all, or are you thinking in a totally different mind space here?
No, it makes sense. I mean, you can go back 2 or 3 weeks before Tennessee went to Kentucky. We were talking to Desmond Oliver the Friday before that game, and he mentioned at some point in his press conference, you know, those 17, 18, 18, 19 teams, they were picked so low. Nobody thought anything of them. They had that chip on their shoulder from the start, from October preseason practices. And they went out and kind of surprised everybody and went from, you know, 13th in the preseason media SEC poll, whatever, to winning the share of the league in 17, 18 and doing so much the following year, obviously, and setting program records and all that stuff. Fast forward to this team and the 5-star guards and everything that goes with it, all that hype, the, you know, 2 all SEC forwards returning and Eve and John. And this was a top 15, top 10 team. Like, people were talking about Final Fours in November before anything ever happened. So what Des's point there was, is there was never a chip put on this team's shoulder. They kind of had to manufacture a shoulder because that chip on their shoulder, because the lofty expectations were there from the jump before they had done anything. I think that's part of it. I think another part of it is what we talked about in November. They have all this depth of guard, but they don't really have a true point guard. And I think that's been a problem that's played out. Rick Barnes is not an idiot when he does these interviews. I mean, he went on Jim Rome earlier this week and was talking about COVID fatigue, kind of brought that up on his own. And he didn't mention players by name, and Tennessee hasn't publicly said any players that have tested positive for COVID, though Rick has said in the past that he feels like most of the program has dealt with it. But he did say there are players, you're seeing players that were good last year that aren't as good this year, and there's something to be said for COVID fatigue. He's not an idiot. He's not going to bring that up unless there's something to it on a nationally syndicated sports talk radio show like Jim Rome. So maybe that's part of it. I don't know. That's a whole nother can of worms. All the injuries that you talked about, guys being banged up. I think there's a lot of factors at play. I think one of the big ones is handling pressure and not having that chip on your shoulder, like Des talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, perhaps after the season, some of the stuff about COVID fatigue will be easier to explain, because there are, you know, normally when a guy's going through some struggles, you think, okay, you know, is something wrong mentally, or does he have maybe like a wrist or hip or something that's ankle that's bothering him, and we don't really know about it because they're trying to keep it quiet. But, I mean, you look at guys, and I don't want to leap to conclusions here, but I keep looking at the way John Fulkerson's playing, and he doesn't have that spark that he normally has. And I just, in the back of my mind, and maybe it's not fair, but I can't help but wonder if something like that's going on there, because you just don't see that sort of, you know, Rick Barnes uses the word thrust, and we laugh every time because it's hilarious. But he uses the word thrust when he talks about the way guys play, and you're just not seeing that thrust from Fulkerson. Like he's not playing with the energy that we're used to seeing from him, and you know, you wonder. On one hand, is that just trying to adjust to a new role with some of these guards taking over a little bit offensively? Is that him, his personality maybe lending itself toward, you know, kind of being Homer, going back into the bushes if he can, because his team doesn't necessarily always need him. So that plays a factor. But I just wonder if something like that's going on with him, because it's hard to watch the video from just like 12 months ago, and then you look at it now and you say, this isn't the same guy, because it just does not look like the same guy at all. He looks frustrated. He looks timid. He looks like he doesn't want to go attack the rim. He's laying it up more instead of dunking. It's just, you know, I've seen a couple times this season where they've thrown lobs to him, and he pretty easily, he's a bouncy guy. He could go up and get those and throw those down, but he's just kind of picking them there and laying them up. Just doesn't look like the same energy is there.
No, it doesn't. I don't think it completely excuses his play.
Agreed.
I don't think you should go from a first team all SEC guy to a guy who's, I think he's been held to less than 5 points in like five or six last games. I don't know, something like that, except for that South Carolina game where he kind of looked like his old self. But maybe there is something to it, and maybe we do learn something about it after the season, like you said, but that's not the full problem here. That's not the reason that this team, I don't think, struggles at times. It is a big reason they don't get production down low. That's something that hurts them a lot, but it's not the full picture. I do think the expectations that were placed on him from the start, maybe that does play a part into it, because Des Oliver said what he said a couple weeks ago. But yeah, it is at the point where, you know, this is a frustrating group to watch if you're a Tennessee basketball fan, because you had such high expectations for them, and you have no idea what you're going to get night in and night out. So they got to figure something out before March if they want to stick around. And if not, it'll have a frustrating end to a frustrating, basically the last, 2 months now.
Yeah. And I guess what I'm trying to say, Grant, is I just don't see, and this is why I preface this by saying, I'm not sure that, you know, with us not being around them as much in person, obviously because of the COVID stuff, we can't go near them with like a 10-foot pole right now. That's the way they're setting it up. And honestly, I have no beef with that. That's what I would do in their position as well. I have no huge concerns with it. But it does make you wonder sometimes when you think things like small things, like, is this team having as much fun as we're used to seeing this program have? And maybe that's because normally we get pretty good access. We're around them a good bit. We get to see the way they interact with each other. We see the bond, the love that the people in that program typically have for each other. And that doesn't mean that brothers don't fight. My brother drives me up the wall. But anyone who's got a brother can understand that. But, you know, there's love there, and you can tell that. And I wonder sometimes, these guys just are not, they don't look like they're having as much fun as usual. And I know that when you're ranked 6th in the country and then you go 6-5 for 11 games, you're not going to be having as much fun. Duh, Wes, duh. But I keep wondering, something's missing there. And I wonder if it's just, you know, it's a weird year, the COVID thing's going around, you're wearing a mask all the time, you're, you know, you don't get 20,000 plus fans going crazy for you in the building every game. You know, you just don't get the same experience around campus. It's just, you know, maybe these guys are just kind of in a funk.
Yeah, I don't think it's a personality problem. I don't think it's a cohesion problem or getting along. I do think it might be a frustrations problem, because they've felt the same frustration that everybody has watched from the outside looking in over these last 11 games. And I think maybe they're pressing to try to figure things out and try to get it right. And sometimes when you press too hard and try to do too much, you turn it over 18 times and you got problems. So I don't know if it's a personality issue or what all's going on. Like you said, we're not around these guys at all. But something's got to happen. Maybe it's just one game where they perform well and something clicks and they start having a little bit fun again. But until that happens, it's hard to blame if there are frustrations.
That's why I get back to that P word, the pressure. That's why I wonder if that's part of it. It's probably a combination of things. It's usually rarely something simple. And they do such a good job of targeting personalities in that program that I don't think it's any kind of a ego issue or anything like that. I don't get that sense at all, or sense from the players that he's playing the wrong guys, or, you know, although I do think not playing Olivier, Kumwa at all in the second half last night was a mistake. That's just my personal opinion. I don't get that at all. But they won the game, so it's, you know, what are you going to say? But I just, in general, I don't think that's an issue at all. I just something just doesn't quite look right. And maybe it's just as simple as the performances haven't been great, and these guys want to be great. You know, people say, do they want to win? Do they care? Of course they do. Don't be stupid. Of course they do. No one works this hard and makes this many sacrifices to want to be mediocre. I don't believe that at all. I think these guys want to win. I think they recruit guys who want to win. And last night, I think Keon Johnson, you saw that when he had what could only, you could charitably describe it as a terrible offensive game. You know, you could say a lot worse than that. That's what I'm saying. But let's just say not his best game offensively. 6 turnovers, missed shots he normally makes, frustration. But he worked his tail off defensively throughout the second half, made a couple of really high-energy plays that got people going, had the dunk offensively, blocked a couple of shots. He's obviously not mailing anything in. He wants to play, and he wants to play hard because, you know, you saw how much frustration he had, and I think he took it all out on that dunk there late in the game. I think they want to win. I don't think that's the issue, Grant. I just think something is not right.
Yeah, the effort's there. I don't think there's any doubting that. The pieces of the puzzle are there. It's just a matter of, can you figure out how to put those pieces together? I mean, we asked Rick, why did Olivier not play in the second half after the Vandy game? And he said they wanted to go small in the second half. Well, Fulkerson played 10 minutes in the second half. He had his third foul with 19:04 left in the game. So why – I don't understand from the start why Olivier is not getting John's minutes right now, because John can't perform. He's not executing. He's struggling. Olivier's shown glimpses of looking like he's, you know, kind of trying to take steps forward, you know, a little bit at a time. So I don't really understand in the first place why he's not getting more Fulkerson's minutes. And I certainly don't understand if you're wanting to play small, which I understand, put Eve at the five and go 4 guards to match up in a game like Vanderbilt Wednesday night. But if you're going to play Fulkerson 10 minutes in the second half, I don't think you can really excuse not playing Olivier at all.
It's like he just wants to force Fulkerson to become himself.
It's almost like there's as much confusion, frustration with him as there is with the players trying to figure things out on the floor. Like they're as confused trying to get all these pieces to fit together as he is trying to fit these pieces together himself.
Yeah, I mean, you could parse words over it. I'm not sure whether Fulkerson can't perform or won't perform, but the end result is the same thing. You know,
right, he's not.
You know, he's not. So that's, you know, I just think, and Kumwa's a guy who I think still has a bright future in this game, and I wonder what's going on there. Quickly, before we step out of here, I'll mention baseball just for a second at the end, but Saturday's game, not the finale. Now they're going to get a chance to play Florida again the following Saturday, have a senior day for people who are not coming back, which is definitely Eve Pons. I'm pretty sure we all know he's gone. We will see what happens with Fulkerson. I don't know why he would go at this point. I think he would probably want to come back, but, you know, stranger things have happened, I guess. But still a big game. Tennessee still could improve this. I mean, you could still be looking at a team with a really good seed in the NCAA tournament. You could look at a team with a double bye in the SEC tournament, or you could see a team that, you know, struggles and keeps doing this, and then this falls off the map a little bit. But there's still a lot to play for. Tennessee, big game against Auburn on Saturday. Sharif Cooper, who, like Keon Johnson's a possible lottery pick in the draft, he's been hurt since Sunday with a rolled ankle, didn't play in their midweek game. Doesn't look great, the chances for him to play on Saturday. And I don't know why, Grant, I don't know why he would want to at this point. There's no postseason to play for. He's going to be probably a lottery pick. I don't know why he would try to go at this point. But, you know, look at what Tennessee did without Florida's best players. Look what Tennessee did without Vanderbilt's best players. No matter what, Bruce Pearl usually gives Rick Barnes a hard time. That's going to be a tough game for them on Saturday, no matter what.
Yeah, for sure. They got to exercise some demons against Auburn, particularly at Auburn Arena. Need anyone be reminded of that 18-0 run a couple of years ago where a timeout was not called for whatever reason.
Bizarre. Still makes no sense.
The SEC tournament title game. I mean, Auburn even go all the way back to 2017-18 season when they came to Thompson Bowling in January and scored 94. And Tennessee was 0-2 in the league, and it looks like the sky was falling. So, yeah, you got to exercise some demons there. And Auburn didn't have Sharif Cooper, like you mentioned, against Florida the other night, and they looked awful. I mean, they were getting doubled up at halftime. It's like 44-22. They were never really in that game. So if Tennessee can find answers when a team's missing its best player, it might be a, you know, whoever scores 40 first. But, yeah, it's a game they need to win. They got to win if they're going to play for these top four seeds and the double bye in the SEC tournament.
Hey, VJ Bailey's scoring, though, so that's a good thing. You know,
he's scoring a ton.
You know, he's got his big boy pants back on, and I still really like him as a player. So I think that's good for Tennessee that he's doing what he's doing, and then we'll see what goes on with Tennessee the next couple of Saturdays, couple of really big games coming up, and then a postseason that's going to be really, really interesting. Before we step out of here, though, I will mention that the Tennessee baseball team is now 5-0. The Vols, depending on, there's like 18 polls in college baseball. I usually go with USA Today, where they're Tennessee's number 16, but they're also 15 in some, 18 in others. They're somewhere in that mid to late teens range. They're 5-0. They put two whoopings on Arkansas Pine Bluff midweek, as you would expect them to do, hoping to host four games this weekend against Indiana State. Looking at the weather forecast, it's going to be a lot of rain in Knoxville this weekend, but they do have that artificial playing surface, which, you know, as tough as it is for me to think of baseball being played outdoors on synthetic turf, the stuff they use now is better than it used to be, and it helps you get in games when, you know, it's raining. You can play more unless the rain's just, you can't grip the ball. You can play. The field will drain. Everything will be okay. But they're hoping to play one game Friday, 4:30 Eastern, a doubleheader starting 12:30 Eastern on Saturday, so a little bit of double dipping there in terms of the hoops game tipping off at noon. And then they're hoping to play one game Sunday, I believe, at 1 o'clock Eastern. So they're hoping to play. A lot of their games are on the ESPN app right now. I think they are well worth watching. I think could be a pretty good team. The SEC is so ridiculously good in baseball, it's hard to tell. But there are some guys on this team who are going to be some pretty good draft picks. They got a lot of depth in the lineup. They got a lot of guys who can pitch. Some big arms, some pop at the plate, some speed all over the diamond. They're a fun team to watch, and they got a lot of personality too. Drew Gilbert himself, the sophomore, 5'8" outfielder pitcher from Minnesota. This kid is, man, he's a strong contender for Govall's 24/7's Man of the Year with the swagger with which he plays baseball. What was it you said, Grant? He poured himself a statue, basically, in Georgia Southern last weekend.
He did at the plate. He stood there until the statue was done.
It was it's crazy. And this guy, he basically admits that, you know, hey, he's like, I'm 5'8", I'm 5'9". Listen, I got an edge, man. That helps me. And, you know, Tony Vitello lets him be him. As what is it that one of Josh Heupel's former players said recently about Heupel? He lets you hang your nuts when you're out there playing. You know, he lets you play. He lets you be who you are. And so I think this is a fun Tennessee baseball team to watch. It's going to be a fun season. We're going to have a lot to discuss about them on the podcast. Try to get Vitello on here at some point. He'd be a pretty good interview. He usually is. But they're worth watching. They're fun. If you get a chance this weekend and the weather holds, give it a shot. Plus, hey, it's you can go out there and watch them in person too, if the weather's good enough, because you can get out there and see some games, and you can socially distance out there in the crowd. So they're worth watching. I think they're a good watch. Grant, anything else on your mind with basketball, recruiting, anything else that I haven't asked you?
We didn't mention Florida. So Tennessee has two games left on schedule. Auburn Saturday, we mentioned. The SEC added a Florida home date, which was postponed back in February. February 10th was the original schedule for the date. They're going to play that game on Sunday, March 7th. Tennessee will not have a midweek game next week, so that South Carolina game in January at South Carolina, they got postponed. That's not going to get made up. That one got thrown away.
Tennessee could use that. Tennessee could use that game probably.
Right. I think one of the reasons they put that game on Sunday is because Florida plays on March 3rd, so they're going to have to turn around and play Tennessee after Tennessee did not have a midweek game. So Tennessee should have a full week off before that Florida game, and then a few days off before the SEC and, tournament in the postseason starts. So that's the scheduling note. That's the last, you know, fingers crossed, knock on wood, that's the last scheduling update you're going to need. Tennessee's going to play Auburn at Auburn. Then they're going to host Florida on a Sunday, which is going to be really weird. And then they're going to get ready for the postseason.
That is weird. I wonder how Rick Barnes feels about that. You don't see a lot of regular season games for Rick Barnes on a Sunday. That's the
non-conference when you're hosting UNC Asheville in November after a Tennessee football Saturday game. Bring on the non-conference game on Sunday. So it'll be a throwback.
Does that give Tennessee an advantage with Deacon Barnes being Deacon Barnes, or the Right Reverend Rick Barnes? Does that give you enough?
He's going to pass around the offering plate.
There you go. With McDonald's bags and everything. Lots of.
Hey, that's just mean.
Oh, come on, man. If you can't laugh at yourself a little bit, what are you doing, right? Right. I think, Grant, I'm pretty sure that about does it, unless you got anything else, which is, I'm amazed that you already said you had something else. So I'm going to ask you again, hoping that you'll say what you normally say, which is,
nothing, I'm hanging up. Click.
There you go. That's Grant Ramey, and he did it again. He always just hangs up and makes us hear that awful Zoom sound at the end of the podcast. And it happened right at the time when I started the music, so I can't really edit it out. So let that lesson be that he's the worst. He remains the worst. Guys, thanks for listening. You can find all of us on Twitter. I'm WestRecord247 on Twitter. Grant Ramey is Grant Ramey on Twitter. Patrick Brown is PBrown247 on Twitter. And Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 247 on Twitter. If you want just Tennessee news, nothing else, you can get that at twitter.com/GoVols247. You can also go to facebook.com/GoVols247, which we update all the time, pretty much throughout the day, all day, every day, at least once every hour, it seems like, pretty much every hour of the day. So tons and tons of good stuff there. But if you want the best, most delicious, sparkling clear East Tennessee mountain spring water, just right from the tap, go get that at govols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets to get coverage of Tennessee football recruiting, basketball recruiting, Tennessee baseball, Lady Vol sports, where Maria Cornelius does an excellent job covering all things Lady Vols for us. Got two forums that are open all the time for fans to come and discuss anything they want that's not political or religious in nature. Those are the only two topics. Those are the only two no-go zones. Anything else, you can talk about it all day on the Checkerboard or the Summit. Those are kind of the digital water coolers there. Tons and tons of fun stuff there. And right now, you can get all of that for just, guys, half off. 50% off right now. 50% off of an annual subscription, which is already a good deal. So take 50% off an already good deal. And on top of that, you get access to CBS All Access, which is about to become Paramount Plus, which has everything I just mentioned earlier in this segment, so I won't repeat myself this time. But basically what that means is you are getting $100+ of annual value for free every year as long as you are a member of GoVols 24/7. Again, I repeat, a $100+ annual value that we just put in your pocket for nothing if you're a member of GoVols 24/7. It's one of the best deals out there, and you really should take advantage of it. Please also rate and review this podcast. Please mash the subscribe button on this podcast. Say that 5 times fast. And please, please do that, because nothing you can do out there helps us more than that. If nothing else, you should hear from us by Monday, unless something crazy happens over the weekend, which is always possible. This is Tennessee. Never know. But until then, until the next time you hear from us, please wear your freaking masks. Please wash your freaking hands. Please be freaking nice to each other. Please sign up for and get that vaccine. Please, please, guys, we are so close. The numbers are finally looking better. We can do this. We can do this. Sign up for and get that vaccine. Let's do this. Let's get through this. Let's get back to the world as we know it. Let's get back to that world before we forget what it was like. Please, that's my PSA. I'm out. See y'all. Be good.
Hello everyone, it's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.